Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA obesity algorithm. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Craig Premack about the effects of physical exercise on fatty liver disease. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we're going to be discussing an article review, and we're going to be discussing it with Dr. Craig Premack. Craig, tell the folks who you are and what you do.
Hi, Harold. I am a physician in Arizona, and I have been a full-time obesity medicine practitioner or physician for the last 13 years. And as of tonight, I am the president of the Obesity Medicine Association.
Man. So what an opportunity here to talk to the president of the Obesity Medicine Association. So this is going to be outstanding. So let's get right to it. The article that we're going to talk about that's part of the obesity algorithm was published in Gene Experimentation in 2018. The name of the article is The Effects of Physical Exercise on Fatty Liver Disease. And I think the genesis of this article is that the increase of prevalence of obesity has made non-alcoholic fatty liver disease the most common form of chronic liver disease. And one of the things that this article goes into is there are a lot of potential benefits of physical exercise or physical activity on the fatty liver disease, and it does so through a variance of mechanisms and such. So I will just read the conclusion here. The conclusion is that physical exercise is a proven therapeutic strategy to improve fatty liver disease. So Dr. Premack, let me just start off. What should clinicians listen to this podcast and they have a patient who they suspect or know has fatty liver disease? What does this article tell them?
That I think we should consider non-medicinal, non-just weight loss by itself as a treatment protocol, that exercise is a known way to treat fatty liver disease.
Right, because currently, I mean, we're doing a lot of clinical trials looking at agents to treat fatty liver, but there's no specific drug that's indicated to treat fatty liver disease. Look, you're an obesity medicine specialist. You see patients with fatty liver disease all the time. Do you have just sort of a general brief approach before we get into the nuances of this article?
So it is surprising in the last couple of years that we're seeing so much fatty liver disease. And as patients' BMIs get over 35, over 40, we're seeing much, much more of it. And so we've taken an overall approach towards just let's lose weight, because that is the thing up until I read this article that was really the keystone for me.
Right. Because it's got to be a multifactorial approach, don't you agree? Nutrition, physical activity.
Yeah, so overall obesity medicine is those four pieces of some kind of dietary manipulation, exercise, behavior modification, and medicines. And we were really just using that approach, and we didn't emphasize exercise as one of these pieces.
Right, and one of the things that when you start talking about physical activity or even nutrition or whatever, you're wanting to reduce that insulin resistance. You want to reduce the delivery of free fatty acids and glucose to various organs of the body. You want to increase fatty acid oxidation. You want to improve mitochondrial function. And it is quite remarkable when you do a lot of these things through appropriate nutrition and physical activity. I mean, you really can see a difference in, let's just say, you know, it's a very crude measure, but it's a measure nonetheless, and like liver enzymes and such. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So again, let's say that you have a patient, they come in, they got that mild elevation and liver enzymes and such. You suspect they may have fatty liver. What do you do?
So for most people, as they come to me, we presume they have fatty liver when their enzymes are up. And then we start overall weight loss. Now I'm putting another now emphasis on the exercise component of that as treatment specifically for the fatty liver disease, because we didn't have a lot of other things to offer them at up until now.
And when you say physical exercise, I mean, when you have a patient with obesity, do you have just some sort of general like a prescription, for example, or what is your general approach when you're advising patients on increasing their physical activity or physical exercise?
That's a great question. So what we believe is taking them from where they are and bringing them forward. So I think people fall into three overall major categories. You have someone who doesn't do any regular exercise. You have someone who goes to the gym 2 or 3 days a week and maybe gets on the treadmill for 30 minutes, which is a great amount of exercise. But I also have people with obesity who are marathon runners. And just because you're a marathon runner surely does not preclude you from having obesity. And I think someone who is not exercising at all, we try to just get do some very basic exercise.
Because something's better than nothing,
something,
right?
is definitely better than nothing. Yeah. And to say, okay, the guideline is 150 minutes a week and so forth, yeah. From someone who isn't currently exercising at all, there was a study that looked at when you gave those exercise guidelines, it actually was less motivating to them because you're like, I'm already doing nothing. I'm doing nothing. You're asking me to do so much exercise that it's just beyond my current capabilities.
Well, look, I would make the analogy to pharmacotherapy. The majority of benefit for, say, lipid drugs or diabetes drugs or antihypertension drugs is at that first dose. And I think what clinical trials have supported is the greatest benefit you're going to get from physical activity is exactly what you just said, going from nothing to something. You'll just moderate or such, right? So very practically, and this applies to fatty liver and glucose management and blood pressure and lipids and such, but do you have any kind of specific things? You have that patient that's really not doing much of anything. What have you found to be effective interventions or recommendations to make that get people to do something?
So I first ask them if they're not doing anything. If you were to begin doing something, what would it be? Let's find the low-lying fruit. And all of a sudden you're going to hear, well, I would go to the gym. I would start walking in the morning. Maybe I'll just take my dog out a couple times a week. And I think those are all great suggestions. And so then I'm a planner. If you're going to walk in the morning, the night before, let's put our shoes together. Let's get our clothes done. And when you wake up in the morning, you know, I put my contacts in. I take the exercise clothes that are already laying on the floor and just get out the door.
Right. Yeah, I people always ask me, you know, what's the best kind of exercise? You know, is it the walking, the swimming, the running, going to the gym? You know, what's the best form of exercise? And my response is uniformly very similar to yours, which is the best exercise for you to do is whatever you will do, right?
The one you like. If you like it, you'll do it. And if you do it, you're going to get benefit from it.
Right. Okay, so let's say that you have a patient that is engaged in moderate physical activity. What do you tell those folks?
So if they're doing cardiovascular as their moderate activity, we may try to add some weightlifting in at that point, some strength training, up to around 2 days a week in the beginning. And then fine-tuning if they're doing all low-level cardiovascular activity, maybe put some high-intensity exercise in there also.
Right. And that that takes quite a bit of education, doesn't it? Resistance training, people think, you know, just go lift weights. I mean, it's really not that way at all. There's so much that goes into resistance training, not just from the efficacy standpoint, but boy, safety is so important when you talk about resistance training. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. And then the nice thing in Arizona, at least, we have many gyms now that baseline are only $10 a month. And so if you add a little onto that, you can see a trainer occasionally also. Many of them are throwing in a couple of sessions with their trainers. And I say just to learn how to use the equipment that's in the gym.
That is so spot on. Yeah, learning how to use the equipment. I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm doing resistance training and my muscles are sore. But if you're doing resistance training and your joints are sore, you got to work on your technique, right? You're not there to hurt people. We're here to try to help people.
So I think that's another thing is someone joins a gym and they start with a trainer 3+ days a week, which may be too much in the beginning. And the trainer, some of them believe the more I push someone in the beginning, the more benefit they'll get and so forth. And it'd be inspiring. And I think it's just the exact opposite. If you do so much exercise in the beginning that you can't lift your arms the next day, that you feel bad about getting out of bed, the likelihood of you going the next day to the gym is pretty low.
Yeah. Although I got to tell you, sometimes I'm like, you know, if you wake up the next morning after resistance training, you can still walk, then you didn't do it right. But that's for people that are engaged in...
That goes back to the no pain, no gain. Mild discomfort is what you want, not pain.
Not pain. Yeah, not incapacitating pain that prevents you from moving forward. Okay, so overall, what I'm hearing from you is that when you recommend physical activity or physical exercise for folks that have the fatty liver or even the diabetes, hypertension, mm-hmm. dyslipidemia, it sounds like you take a balanced approach of both dynamic or aerobic as well as resistance training. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Absolutely. If you overall are going to run or walk a mile, you're going to burn about 100 calories if we're looking directly at weight loss. If you put muscle on over time, then even at baseline, you can burn that 100 or 200 calories. If you then do cardio on top of that extra muscle, you can just burn a few more calories each day.
But at least when we circle back to the article that we're reviewing here, and I'm just quoting from the article, the abstract, several clinical trials have shown that both aerobic and resistance exercise reduce hepatic fat content.
Absolutely. What I think this is going back and saying is what we've been saying since the beginning of this talk, which is it doesn't matter what exercise you're doing to help decrease the fat in your liver and such. It's just that you're doing something and then hopefully you enjoy it.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, Craig. Thank you. Thank you for attending and speaking at today's podcast. And I want to thank you for listening, you the listener, for listening to today's podcast. This has been the Obesity Medicine Association podcast article review.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Premack. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.